Welcome to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. My name is Dr. Gina Anderson, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning. We are celebrating the people designing better outcomes for those who move our industries. Stick around to the end of the show, and we'll reveal how you could be our next guest to be celebrated in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my On the Frontline podcast, where leadership doesn't just happen in boardrooms. It actually happens on the front line in real time, under pressure, with imperfect information and real people counting on you. This is the Frontline podcast, where we have real conversations about leadership, learning, and growth, and where the work actually happens. And today, I am so honored that I am joined by David Price, and he is the Executive Vice Chairman at United Petroleum Transports, which I learned recently is a family-run company, and I know that it's built on grit, vision, and unwavering commitment to safety. And I did a little research, and David can tell me if I'm right, but the story of the company begins with David's grandfather, Keith Price, and he actually started the business with just one truck and a bold idea, and he built a company that customers could always trust and employees could always be proud of, and that would always find a way to deliver safely and consistently, no matter how complex the job. And so what happened is the vision was carried forward under David's father's leadership, Greg Price. And today, I'm proud to say that David continues the legacy, guiding a company known for being a strategic partner, solving problems that others won't or can't solve, and executing seamless service with the safety at the center of everything. And so this conversation today is what it really takes to lead in a high-stake environment, and how culture gets built and how trust gets earned, and what it means to carry a legacy forward while still evolving what's next. David, thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited to talk to you. I would love for you to share with everyone today what leading from the front line means to you and means to your company.
Wow. Well, first, thank you for that. I've never quite had that kind of introduction before, so thank you very much. Yeah, I haven't quite heard it put that way. So thank you very much. Leading from the front lines, the first thing I think about is all the, you know, hardworking men and women who literally are on the front lines of our business that are the ones that make it run. We're just the shepherds, if you will, hopefully steering the ship, whatever metaphor you want to pick, going in the right direction and in giving those frontline workers the tools and the resources to effectively and efficiently do their job. And that's kind of where, that's where I started. Not that that was the question, but I see firsthand and have experienced firsthand being on the front lines with those folks, the dispatchers, the technicians, professional drivers, that those conversations and communications and planning and execution really make or break your business. And so as leaders of the organization, to be able to run a business that has a, yes, we have a hierarchy org chart for all intents and purposes, but at the same time, it's pretty flat to where we spend time up there. Most, if not all, of those day-to-day, minute-to-minute decision makers know who we are for sure. And quite a few of them that have been around a long time, we have relationships with, and they can call us directly if they need to. So we live on the front lines with them and back away and let them do their job at the same time.
I love that. So, I love that. Well, that's the kind of leader that you are, and I've observed, is just supporting those around you and lifting them up to be the very best. And you're right. I mean, they're the ones doing the work, and I appreciate, you know, your company's commitment to safety and supporting them in that. And what do you think, like, leading from the front line, what does it teach us really about humanity? I think about this question a lot because I think a lot of times people don't really realize what these individuals go through on a daily basis.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, it reminds us that, I mean, reminds me that we're all part of the same team and no position is more important than the other. The example, again, I'm full of metaphors, but, you know, we're all spokes in the wheel that move the business forward. And so if one is, and each has its own particular place, you don't just have one spoke that makes a wheel move. So if one of those is broken or weak, it's protected by the others, but you can't have a whole host of them weak or else the wheel's going to break. So we all work together to keep moving things forward.
Yeah, that is outstanding. I mean, a lot of times, you know, this idea of teamwork and working together means everything. I mean, it what keeps us together. You know, we think about sports teams and different aspects of teamwork, but you're exactly right. Everyone has to be moving in the same direction. Have you seen in your company or in the industry in general, areas where innovation might have like uncovered in areas that you might not have expected? Like kind of where people don't, I don't think often think of this industry as being innovative. And I see it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not innovating, if you're not changing, then you're losing pace or you're slowly dying. But, you know, in our world, yes, it's a competitive market as any industry is, but you know, as you mentioned earlier, the word that comes to a lot of the top of mind is safety. And so we don't really, our industry and especially the niche of tanker, and I, you know, I can't speak for the other niches and I would assume it's the same. We don't compete over safety per se. Those are areas that we will share best practices and we're pretty much an open book in terms of how to keep our roadways, motoring public and our employees and other associates safe.
Mm-hmm.
An area of innovation outside of, I mean, safety is intertwined in everything that we do. One area that is very archaic and showing some progress in the tank world, specifically in the fuel business, is loading procedures. You know, to keep it high level, a driver has to have a set of codes. First, he or she has to have access to that particular loading facility and go through certain training requirements from that particular place. But after that, we have to be approved to load off certain accounts, and drivers have account numbers and a slew of other accounts to pick from, and then products. It's a mess.
It's a lot.
And at the end of the day, a driver can pick whatever he or she wants. And there's a price difference in all those different accounts. The analogy that my dad often uses is, you know, would a Walmart driver be able to pull up to a warehouse and load whatever he or she wanted? No.
Right. No.
And so, but fuel drivers, in theory, can.
Wow.
Off whatever account that we're already approved off of. What that's moving to, there's a couple of different initiatives out there, but to streamline that where a dispatcher or someone in the office so can tie our system to the customer system, to the loading facilities system, and I'll keep it high level because frankly, I'm not the tech wizard. So what it essentially does is, or it will do, is either give a driver a QR code or a one-time code, and before he or she gets there, we can secure that product so he or she doesn't run into allocation issues and not have available product to load. And so it prevents misloads or loading off the wrong accounts. It limits downtime at the rack. There's so many benefits to knowing that where you're going, there's going to be the right type of fuel, the right amount, the right account. You can get in and get out and get on your way. It's been implemented in a couple of places, but it's nowhere near And it's a long term. That would be a huge shift in how fuel haulers operate, because it really hasn't changed in decades.
Wow.
So that's an area of innovation that takes stakeholders from a lot of different angles, from the driver's perspective, to the rack operators, to our customers, to us. So it takes a lot of people to move that ball. And that's a slow moving ship, just because it's so complicated and it's got so many different angles to it. So maybe in my lifetime, we'll see.
It sounds really innovative. I love that. I love it so much. Do you see, like, you've seen a lot. I mean, your grandpa started the company and now you're here today. Like, if there's something about the industry that you think should be redesigned, or that you would hear him saying, I can hear my grandpa, you know, saying, oh, I wish it were like this. What do you think we should redesign to make better? And what should we create instead, do you think?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I don't know if I have the answer off the hip. On one hand, it's difficult to put myself back in his shoes, because things have changed so much since the 60s. Mm-hmm. He moved on to a different life in 93, and a lot has changed since 93, 96. It would be interesting. What I think about often is, you know, what would be his viewpoint if he was around a lot longer to see how this industry has changed in the areas that it has, from regulations and to truck emissions and trail, you know, just from equipment and technology, because we're really all tech companies that run trucks. At the end of the day, you have to be. So, which was not a thing even in 93, really. But yeah, that's a tough question to answer on what the next big shift should be. You know, there's things that the location sites, in terms of, you know, the fact that the only true way we know to put it in the right tank in the ground at a convenience store is the lids are painted a certain color.
Really? I didn't know that. I wondered that. I never knew that. I love that. You know,
certain customers paint them differently, because certain states have different. Yeah, so you got to know where you're going and what color they're supposed to be.
Wow.
So
that's good to know.
That seems pretty antiquated.
Yeah.
When paint chips away and cars are driving over lids, or somebody maybe swapped lids.
Yeah. Well, there hopefully is a lid.
Tank. Yeah, once you open the lid, it's also marked down there. But there's just, you know, there could be a better way to ensure drivers put the. And there's other products and ideas circulating around a solution for that as well. And so I feel like some of the bigger obstacles that we face, there are people trying to solve those. And again, that takes buy-in from a lot of people.
Yeah, so. I got it. That's a lot. That's a lot. What do you hope in 10 years from now? In 10 years from now, what do you hope that your work has done? Because I know how involved you are in the industry. What do you hope it has done to help move the industry forward? What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, gosh.
I love this question.
I've never thought about legacy. Isn't that for old people?
Well, you know, you can leave your legacy. Today is Random Acts of Kindness Day, David. And like, just a small moment, you could just go put a post-it out there in the hallway and tell someone, you know, you're a winner, you know, and then you've changed their whole day. I've witnessed you changing people's day. I mean, you're such a bright light and energy. So maybe you don't even know what your legacy is, but you're leaving it today. You're leaving it all the time. But the work, you work so hard, you know, you work so hard as a leader to bring teamwork to the forefront. So it's an interesting thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to me, and this isn't a softball answer because I know your background, to keep this industry moving forward, we need the next people to come into it. And so it's access to education. And specific education and interest that grabs mm-hmm. people's attention to know and educate them not only on the expertise that's needed for this industry, or what's the word I'm looking for, that we are essential. You know, everyone realized that we were essential when COVID hit. So it is a very valuable profession mm-hmm. to get into, because you can see the benefit on a daily basis that you're providing to people that you don't know. If trucks in general stop, yeah, I mean, everything stops. Mm-hmm. And each niche of trucking has their kind of stake in what they're responsible for. And in tank, yeah, it's chemicals, it's lubricants, it's anything bulk liquid has a role to play in that as well. And fuel doesn't get delivered, then the rest of the trucks can't operate. except for the small percentage that are moving to other forms of power, which is another conversation. So it's really comes down to broadening the, you know, communities and the population on the next generation of educating them that this is a valuable and rewarding sector to work in. And then below that is just the education, specific education within our industry to be successful. Because there's always something to learn, because it's always changing. And so just because someone may get a degree in logistics now, which I didn't even know existed when I was in college,
right?
It may not have. Just because you get one cert doesn't mean you're done. You know that
mm-hmm.
it's ever evolving. So
I love that. Learning is the seed of life, David. I love it. Right. And I appreciate you, because I've noticed in the past several years, your involvement in the National Tank Truck Carriers Association and your leadership. And I don't know if you know much about pelicans, but do you know anything about a pelican? I'm not a bird person, but
but
I want to show you. So today I want to honor you with a Pelican Award. Pelicans are actually in Charleston. And one thing I noticed about them is they hunt and live in groups. And they don't thrive in isolation. They actually thrive in community and connection. And they represent teamwork, which you talked about. You started the conversation and you mentioned that we're all in the wheel and the spoke and we all move together. And I know how much that means to you. In social bonds and the balance between giving and receiving. So today I want to honor you with a Pelican Award, because I know and I feel your energy when you're in a room. You embody all of these traits and you see the strength in others and you lift them higher and you give without ego. And you don't only lead just from the front, but within your community. And your work, I know it might not always make headlines, but your impact is lasting and it's personal and it's powerful. So today I want to thank you, David, honestly, for the way that you move people forward quietly, but with your energy and conviction on stage and how you build community around you. So for the balance you bring and the lives you change just by being you, thank you so much. I want to enter you and have you be part of my leadership community, because you're making a difference and I appreciate that. And your family legacy company is so incredibly lucky, in everyone at your organization, to have you in a leadership role. So thank you so much. I want you to share as we close out our podcast today, just a little bit about your company and how people can learn more about United Petroleum Transports and really what the value of it is, and you know, speak to your customers and the community of why why should they come to you?
Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate the Pelican Award. That's some very kind words that you just shared. So thank you very much. That's an honor. But yes, UPT, quick high level background. As you know, we're celebrating our 60th year starting this summer. As you already mentioned, my grandfather started it in 66 with an idea and with one truck. It's not the story of, you know, he was the driver. He was actually a salesman for another company and then took a risk, as many entrepreneurs do, and started his own truck line which was originally Oklahoma Tank Lines back in 1966. And we ran under, once we acquired UPT back in the 80s, we ran under both banners until just 2012.
Wow.
Rebranded and got rid of OTL because it was, we didn't get rid of it. We just stopped using the name. And because it just got confusing for customers that were touching out that we worked for in multiple states. We started with independent contractors from day one. It was not his intention to ever own trucks. Long story short, my dad talked him into it. And now we still maintain that independent contractor model based on building mutual beneficial relationships. Those individuals who own those trucks are in a small business underneath our DOT number. And so we work together to service our collective customers. Yeah. 2 years ago, we acquired Florida Rock and Tank Lines out of Jacksonville. And so combined between the two, you know, we've gone from one truck in 66 to about 900 now with 1,500 associates, 1,100 or so-ish professional drivers, and the rest support staff, technicians, dispatchers, of the like. And so main website is driveforupt.com. And Drive for FRTL, they've got their separate websites. We cover from Las Vegas to Port Everglades, Florida.
Wow.
And as far north as Tennessee, Kansas City, kind of Mason-Dixon line, and south is where our trucks are domiciled. Some of our non-fuel assets will deliver chemicals and lubes to all 48 in Canada. And we've even done some cross-border into Mexico. So we can go pretty much anywhere. That's kind of our reach.
Get it. I love it.
We can reach as far as we need to, as far as our customers want and need us. And with that independent contractor model, it does allow us some more flexibility than others that just run all company. Because for whatever reason, a lot of contractors have sleepers. And so when there's natural disasters, emergencies, pipeline issues, what have you, anything that disrupts status quo, we can quickly assimilate little pods of trucks and send them wherever.
You know, I love that. Bring the pods. Bring the pods on.
Yeah, we've got drivers that will raise their hand very quickly and go out of state for, you know, a few weeks at a time to help recover whatever emergency may be happening at that time. So that's kind of us in a nutshell.
Where can people find you, David? Where can they find you if they want to learn more or hire you if they want the, you know, hire you or become part of your team? Where should they find you?
Yeah, just go to our website. There's links for drivers and for staff. Drive for the number four, UPT.com, or just a quick Google search, United Petroleum Transports, and we should pop up, I hope.
All right. All right. We'll do that. Well, David, thank you for coming on my podcast today. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for changing and leading the industry. And until next time, we'll see you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. It was an honor.
Dr. Gina Anderson here. Thank you so much for listening to On the Frontline, the Safety, Learning, and Operations podcast. If you are a successful director, VP, or C-level executive, and you're solving some of the toughest challenges in training, engagement, and risk reduction, we would love to have you on this show. Please visit podcast@learningwithgina.com and apply to be a guest. If you got something out of this interview, would you share the episode for me on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or just post it on your social media channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show and use the hashtag on the front line. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. It means so much to me. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss an episode and go ahead and hit subscribe if you like it. Your thumbs up, ratings, and review go a long way to help promote my show, and it means a lot to me and my team. You want to know more? Go to our website, learningwithgina.com or lumabrighterlearning.com, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.